Your Bibles, please. Jeremiah chapter 23, your Schofield Bible, page 797, beginning with the 34th verse. We'll read responsively through verse 38. That's Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 34 through 38, and page 797. And let's please stand for the reading of this passage. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall ye say, every one to his neighbor, and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered? And what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee? And what hath the Lord spoken? And let's read the 38th verse together also. But since ye say, the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because ye say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say, the burden of the Lord. Let's pray.
Father, we come tonight to proclaim the truth of the book. I pray you'd help us as we do. Speak to my heart and the hearts of those who hear me tonight. Thou hast a purpose for this hour. Please fulfill it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak tonight on the subject, the burden of the Lord. It was a special time of burden in the life of God's people, a very special time of burden. They were entering into probably what was the darkest days of their lives and the life of their nation. God gives them some advice. I want you to open your Bibles again to Jeremiah chapter 23. And I want you to keep your Bibles open there tonight as I show you the advice that God gives the people. I'm going to read verses 34 and 35. You'll follow me carefully as I read aloud. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall ye say, every one to his neighbor, and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered, and what hath the Lord spoken? Now, watch me carefully. God comes to a people facing a time of testing. God says to these people, you're talking too much in your houses. You're talking too much on the telephone. That's in the Hebrew. You'll not get that here. About the burden of the Lord. You're not talking enough about how good God is. You're not talking enough about answered prayer. You're not talking enough about the word of God. You're not talking enough about what the Lord said. You're not talking enough about the sermon on Sunday. You're not talking enough about that. He said, you're whining, the burden of the Lord. Now, he's not saying here they should not mention their burden. Of course they mention their burden. It's nothing wrong to say, ouch, when you step on a nail. But he's saying, you're dwelling too much on the burden that you've got. These people had an awful burden. I mean, my soul, I'll tell you after a while, some of the awful things that came into their lives. But God comes to them and says, you're whining too much. You're talking too much about the burden of the Lord. He's saying basically this. He's saying you ought to have the joy of God in your soul when you don't feel real good. You ought to have the joy of God in your soul when things aren't going too well. You ought to have the joy of God in your soul when you're fighting a battle. And God simply said to them, he said, make your normal conversation about the things of God. Excuse me, I'm not going to have a normal conversation tonight. But he said, make your normal conversation about the things of God. He's saying, quit your whining. Cancel your pity party. Now, I want to make it very plain tonight. We're in a battle, but bless God, I'm a happy warrior. You won't take my joy. My joy is not for sale. You won't get it at all. And God is saying to us tonight, in the midst of a battle of our lives, God is saying, we've got to keep talking about God. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords supreme through all eternity. The great I Am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. So, there are two things I want you to notice. First is, God's man should not dwell on the burden. Look at verse 34 again, please. Verse 34. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. God is saying to His men, He's saying, fellas, your main message is to talk about how good God is. Your main message is to talk about what the Lord has done. Your main message is to talk about answered prayer. Your main message is to talk about the Word of God. Listen, I have seen church after church after church get in some kind of crusade and become get this sour kind of a cynical spirit and this self-persecution complex. Brother, let's keep on shouting. Let's keep on praising God. Let's keep on talking to God. Let's stay at the throne of grace and talk about how good God is and what God is doing and what prayers that God has answered. So God said, in the first place, He said, my man should not dwell on the burden. Now, by the way, this is a little marijuana I take along while I preach. Bob Sumner, as you listen to this tape, I've got Banaka here. This is not marijuana, Brother Sumner, so get your sewer bucket away from the microphone. But, because he'll get this tape. That's one good thing about this. He's getting some truth while he's listening to it. But, first thing he said, God's man should not stop magnifying the wonderful God that we have. God's man should be on the victory side. Not a message of defeat. Not to associate the burden with God. Did you ever consider the dilemma of the average layman in America? It's a tragedy. How little victory we have in our pulpits. Brother, there ought to be in every city, every neighborhood, every village, on every countryside in this country, there ought to be a man who's on top side. I love to tell this story, one of my favorite stories, and I've told it to you every first and third Sunday for 6 years. I love it. Howells Anderson College had a fire. Dr. Evans called Mrs. McKinney and said, tell Brother Howells when he calls in, it was on Tuesday, he's got to come to chapel tomorrow. Dr. Evans gives a command, I do the best I can to obey it. And he's got to come to chapel. The college needs him. The prophet's dorm burned, and the smell of smoke was all over the campus. And so Doc said to Ms. McKinney, please, when Dr. Howells calls in, tell him we've got to have him. The student body needs to have Brother Howells tomorrow to cheer them up. Next morning I walked out, smell of smoke everywhere. The boys had to be changed to some other place, out of a motel or something maybe, put a motel or somewhere, and the dorm had burned. I walked out. There was a letdown spirit in Howells Anderson. Now, when Howells Anderson has a letdown spirit, it's still above any other college. But I walked out, and I didn't say anything. I just started singing, and the spirit got worse. And I'm sure I can't do this tonight, but I just started singing, everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house, eat your hearts out, choir. In my Father's house, everything's all right in my Father's house. Where there's joy, joy, joy. And I sang it again. Well, everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house. And I sang it again. Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything is lousy. I sang it. I sang it again. I sang it again. And I kept singing it. And I kept singing it. And I kept singing it. 5 minutes I sang it. I guess 10 minutes I sang it. Pretty soon everybody was singing it with me. Pretty soon everybody was clapping their hands and saying, everything's all right in my Father's house. And then pretty soon, for amen. Well, truly, one fellow said. And pretty soon, the place went wild, came unscrewed. Do you know within 15, 20 minutes of just singing that one song, every student there was glad we had the fire? Now, I'll tell you something tonight. I preached a sermon around the country some. I haven't preached it three or four times in the last few years, but I've been preaching it lately. Because everybody wants to know around the country, how's Brother Hiles doing? Brother Hiles is doing like Brother Hiles is always doing. He's on his way to heaven. His sins are forgiven. He's God's child. He's redeemed. So I've been preaching a little sermon called Mark 8:36. What should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, a lot of people think that means if you don't get saved, what are you going to give in exchange for your soul? And I'm not against that, but that verse doesn't apply primarily to the unsaved. It's talking about God's people losing their soul. I tell preachers across the country, whatever you do, don't lose your soul. I mean, keep your zip and your spirit and your excitement. You heard about that place that started over here across the street called the Village Boutique. I won't tell the whole story because you got it memorized. But that night, those 40 people in that hellhole over here about 20 years ago came in the service, wanted to see me after the service. And the head honcho over there and the head honchoette were sitting in my office, and 40 others of those whores and whoremongers over there were sitting in my office. And so the head boy ran the place. It was a communal kind of place, dope and liquor and all kinds of illicit sex and filthy literature. And the head fellow sitting in my office, he said, Reverend, we're here tonight, and 40 of his people sitting out there in my office, we're here tonight to tell you that if you don't cause us any trouble, we're not going to cause you any trouble. And I said, well, if we do cause you trouble, you're not going to cause us any trouble. He said, why? I said, because there are just 40 of you, there are 12,000 of us. I don't know about your crowd, but I said, our crowd doesn't have a pacifist in the bunch. All of a sudden, back in the back of the room, a little fellow about 5'2" with his hair 6'4". Some of you folks not having much fun tonight, are you? I'm going to make it rougher on you because you're not smiling about three or four. Especially a few of you ladies think you can run a preacher. You can't run me, baby. No way in the world. You done met your match now, Jezebel. Anyhow, back in the back, this little short fellow, about 5'2" with his 6'7" hair, he stood up and began to go like this. Achoo, 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 achoo. I said, man, that guy was achoo-chewing right there in my office. And I said, man, what you doing? And that little guy over here, he said, achoo, 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 achoo. He said, achoo, I like you, baby. I'm baby. First person calls me baby, I'll preach a whole sermon against you. You don't think I'll call your name? Just ask Red Jameson. He said, "Achoo, I like you, baby. Achoo, achoo." I said, what are you talking about, man? He said, Achu, 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 Achu. I like you, baby, because, baby, you got soul. You know what he was saying? He was saying, I can get as excited about Jesus as that crowd over there could about the devil. He was saying, I can get as excited about righteousness as they can unrighteousness. Now, you listen to me tonight, and you listen well. The soul of Dr. Jack Hiles is not for sale. Not for sale. Mr. Robert L. Sumner can't buy my soul. Mr. Victor Nietzsche can't buy my soul. And all the little cohorts can't buy my soul. Not for sale. You can't have my joy. You can't have my thrill. You can't have my excitement. You can have my voice, but you can't have my excitement and my thrill. Now you listen to me. Brother, let's keep the old First Baptist Church with its soul. With its soul. That's what God is saying here. He comes to these people. They're down there. We got a burden. We got a burden. Oh, pray for us. We got a burden. We got a burden. And God says, I've heard that long enough. He said, quit talking about your burden. And he said this. He said, say every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered? And what hath the Lord spoken? He said, talk about the Lord. He said, don't lose your soul. Keep your thrill. Keep your excitement. Bless God. Listen. My name is written in the book of life tonight. And my Bible says don't rejoice because the demons are subject to me, and I could name a few of those demons. My Bible says rejoice because my name is written in heaven. Blessed be God. I'm a child of God. God's my Father. Jesus is my Savior. This book is my guidebook. The Holy Spirit is my power and my comforter. And heaven is my home and the rapture is my hope. And you can't have my soul. That's what God is saying. These people, God bless them. They had a burden. Oh, I've got a burden. Would you pray for my burden? God said, I'm sick and tired of hearing that. He said, let's talk about how good that God is. I said this morning, 30 years, this August, I've been your preacher. There's not much in those 30 years that can happen to a preacher that hasn't happened to me. Not much. I do not know if the devil has any more weapons he can throw at my ministry than he's thrown in these 30 years. But brother, when I've walked through that door for 30 years, Brother Jack Hiles has been on the top side. I've never walked through that door defeated. I've walked through that door crying, but not defeated. I've walked through that door with a burden and a broken heart, but not defeated. I've walked through that door lonely, but I've never walked through that door one time unless I was on top side. Why in the name of common sense shouldn't a Christian always be on top side? Did you ever stop to think, for example, that Philippians 4:13, it's a wonderful verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Did you ever stop and think where it was written? Paul wasn't conducting a great citywide revival with 10,000 people in the audience and 1,000 got saved. Paul was in jail. He talked a little tiny bit about the jail and about his discomfort. But Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. As I said this morning, in the Mamertine prison, in the dungeon jail, at that same place, he wrote and said, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Did you ever stop to think where the 23rd Psalm was written? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Did you ever stop and think where it was written? David had been attacked by his own son, Absalom. Absalom said, I'm going to take over the kingdom. I am going to become the king. David would not fight his son, so David left the palace, laid aside his scepter, took off his crown, took off his robe and left and went out to a place called Mahanaim. He looked back to Jerusalem. He saw the dust rising from the battle. His own son is fighting against his forces. His own son is trying to get David's throne and David's crown and David's scepter and David's robe and David's power and David's kingdom. Out there, looking back at that battle with his heart broken, David picked up his pen and wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." David didn't whine. He said, "I have a shepherd. He leadeth me beside the still waters." I'm simply saying that tonight God is tired and sick of whining Christians because of burdens. You got a burden. I don't want you to hurt. God knows. But look, the devil doesn't have any burden that's bigger than God's blessings. I mean, the biggest burden the devil has is smaller than the smallest blessing that God has. God is simply saying to his people here, look, you got a burden, you got a heartache. He said to his preachers, he said, talk about God. Don't forget to talk about his goodness. What should we dwell on, he said? He said, what God has done, what prayers God has answered, the word of God, and how good God is. Did you ever stop and think where the conditions under which Job wrote, "I know that my Redeemer liveth"? Job was in the ash heap of the city dump. Job's 10 children had been killed. Job had lost every dime of his wealth. Job's wife had said, "Won't you curse God and die?" Job had lost his health. He had leprosy, a form of leprosy. He took a piece of metal called a potsherd, like a knife here, and scraped his body to get the corruption that was running pus off his body. And Job, sitting there in that ash heap with friends that had proved untrue, with not one single person to stand beside him, even his wife had left him and said, "Won't you curse God and die?" And Job said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth. He shall stand again at the last day." Did you ever stop and wonder what the conditions were around the writing of the 21st chapter, the second verse of Revelation? "I, John, saw the holy city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." You know where John was? Exiled on the Isle of Patmos. God comes to John and says, "John, don't talk about your burden so much. Talk about how good I am. Talk about heaven." He said to Job, "Job, you hurt. I know you hurt, but don't forget why you're there. Don't forget to rejoice that your Redeemer liveth and he'll stand on the last day again." He said to Paul in the Mamertine prison, "Don't forget, stay on the top side, Paul." He said, "Don't forget to remind you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory." That great verse in Habakkuk 3:18 which says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation." Did you ever stop and think the conditions around that verse? God's people had been taken captive by the Babylonian. Nebuchadnezzar had come and run roughshod over God's people. And in Jerusalem, the temple had been destroyed. The wall had been torn down. Everybody's house had been leveled. People were so hungry, they were cooking their little children and eating their little children. The Bible said that friends were eating friends. That doesn't sound like a friend to me, but the Bible said that you get together and draw straws, and the loser, he got cooked. He got half-baked, or all-baked, and they ate each other. And in the midst of that, Habakkuk said, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." God comes tonight to First Baptist Church at Hammond, Indiana, and God says, "Sure, you got to fight your battle, but rejoice in the Lord." God comes tonight to the First Baptist Church of Hammond and says, "Sure, you got the Hammond times against you and other stuff against you, but God said, you're still saved, and I'm still the promise, every promise in this book is still true." And God said, "Rejoice in what God has said, and rejoice in what God has done." Now, what should they dwell on? Look at verse 37. Not only does God say his man should not dwell on the burden, but in verse 37 he says, verse 36, and the burden of the Lord shall you mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden, for ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee, and what hath the Lord spoken? What should they dwell on? Preaching. Preaching. Say to the prophet, what hath the Lord spoken? What hath the Lord answered thee? Preaching. You see, somebody said to me not long ago, said, Brother Hiles, said, you don't act like anything is wrong. And I said, that's because too much is right. They don't make the printing press that can take away the power of God off my life. They don't make the printing press that can take away my salvation. They don't make the printing press that can take the Holy Spirit from me. Nor you. Bless God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Rejoice in what God has done. Rejoice in who He is and what He's done. And God said, quit your whining about your burden. Quit your complaining about your burden. He said, fight your battle. You got to fight your battle. But He said, magnify the goodness of God and the preaching of the Word of God. What else did He say? Magnify answered prayer. What hath the Lord, answered thee? Now listen to me. Don't leave the throne of grace. Don't you leave your prayer place. You stay on your face. God's people, when there's a battle raging, God's people walk on their knees. God's army advances on its knees. You take time to pray. Now you listen carefully to me. Don't you leave your prayer life. You spend time with God. It's more important that you talk to God than anything else. It's more important you spend time with God than any other single thing. And God comes along and says to His people, He says, look, quit talking so much about the burden of the Lord. The burden of the Lord. He said, you start talking a lot about what God has answered. The throne of grace is still available tonight. Jeremiah 33:3 is still in the Bible. John 15:7 is still there. You abide in me and my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will and it shall be given you. Call on me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God comes along tonight and God says to some of you, look, I want you to fight the battle. I want you every time anybody says something bad about this church or somebody in this church, I want you to use the great scripture, shut up. Say, where is that found? I don't know, but it's somewhere in the Bible. It's got to be. I want you to use it. I want you to take a stand for what's right. And you don't let anybody hurt this church. If you can help, and don't you ever let anybody criticize Hiles Anderson College without you standing up and saying, I believe in Hiles Anderson College. A reporter said the other day to me, from the Tribune, Chicago Tribune, he said, are you aware of the fact that some of your people have written to Hammond Times and said they hope the place burned down? And that the Hammond Times publisher ought to be shot? He said, do you believe that? Let me think a while. I said, no, I don't believe that. But why didn't the Hammond Times publisher get upset when I was shot at twice? How about the threats on my life? How about the manure put on what's your name? Roy Moffitt's front porch. JoJo put it there, I understand. It's a funny thing to me. Nobody likes for the conservatives to do any, and I'm not, I told him, I don't want anybody to get shot, especially me. I don't want anybody's building burned. I'm not for that at all. But I said, it's a strange thing to me. You liberals never worry about those of us who are fundamentalists getting shot at. You're not concerned about the dirty phone calls we get, dirty letters we get. I'm simply saying we ought to fight, but bless God, hallelujah, God is still on his throne. Our God reigneth. Our Lord omnipotent reigneth. The Lord is in his holy temple tonight. The great God of the universe is my God. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. For out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion of the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Oh, let's talk about the goodness of God. Let's talk about the love of God. Let's talk about the mercy of God. Let's talk about the grace of God. Let's talk about the forbearance of God. Let's talk about the long-suffering of God. What a great God we have. Let's not forget how great our God is. It's our job to talk of his greatness. And God comes along and he says to his people here, and I wish I had a voice tonight to preach this sermon like I want to preach it. I want to just reach out and get out of there. But bless God, I'm saved, horse or not. I'm God's child, horse or not. I love him, horse or not. And I'm trying to tell you tonight that God Almighty comes to us and says, First Baptist Church of Hammond, keep your shout. Keep your soul. Achachu, 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 achachu. Keep your soul. Never forget that morning. We're having a staff meeting over there in the chapel. I looked out and I saw through the little long, narrow window in the chapel. I saw that 25-year-old whoremonger across the street running the village boutique, motioning me to come out like that. I walked out in the hallway and that man said to me, Reverend, I'm about to die. He said, I've been over there all these many months. I've been spreading unrighteousness. I've watched you over here spreading righteousness. I've been over there destroying the souls of young people. I've watched you over here helping people. I've watched you open your own pocketbook and give money to people. I've watched you give food to people. I've watched you over here for these many long months. And he said, Reverend, I'm about to die and I've got to get saved. He got saved that morning over there in the hallway outside the chapel. Next Sunday morning, he walked down the aisle here, nice white shirt, tie, pressed pants, shine shoes, professing his faith in Christ. And the adulteress he had over there, she walked down the aisle trusting Christ as Savior. Not far behind them came a little 5-foot-2-inch fellow tripping over his hair. Achachu, 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 achachu. Oh, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God is looking for a church who can fight a battle and still shout while she fights. God's looking for a preacher who can cry and hurt and still rejoice in the good things of God. And God comes to his people there and he says, look at me, people. He said, so you got some burdens, and so it's the toughest time of your life. God said, look at me. I am your God. I am the everlasting God. I am the creator of the universe. I hear your prayer and answer your prayer. God said, as you go through this burden and battle, he said, don't you forget how good I am. When you see people, ask each other, what prayer have you had answered lately? Answered prayer. Then he said also the word of God. What hath the Lord said? He said, in this battle, he said, don't forget the word of God. I was out in Cheyenne, Wyoming, Cheyenne of the day. I'm getting up the age where my voice is changing. Looks out over here on this side, and there sat the strangest looking man I ever saw in my life. I guess a man. looked like he'd just a Martian just gotten here from Mars. He had some kind of a sock or material over his face. I never saw anything like it in my life. Just holes cut out for his eyes and for his mouth. And it was eerie. He was sitting over here. The next week, I was in Colorado Springs, Colorado. That service started. That same man walked down the aisle and sat down over here. And right behind him was a woman just like him. Had her face covered with a sock of some kind. Eyes cut out, place for her to breathe and a place for her to talk. Every woman needs a big place there for her to talk. She sat down beside him. I couldn't help but look at him. I asked the pastor, I said, "What's the story?" He said that couple was unsaved. They had three children. They had an airplane, private airplane. They were flying one day and got caught in a downdraft, and their plane crashed. He said all three children were killed in the crash. One of them was last heard saying, "Mommy, Mommy, help me. Mommy, Mommy, help me. Mommy, Mommy, help me." He said that couple was burned from head to toe. The reason their faces are like they are, because the skin, there's no skin on their faces. It's being formed again. All that to say this. I got to preaching. And I got to preaching. The guy got happy. I mean, the guy that came from Mars looked like he got happy. He started praising God. He started rejoicing in the Lord. And through that mask, he and his wife, I couldn't see if they're smiling or not because there wasn't enough of their mouth showing, but he was rejoicing in the Lord. Three little children, all gone. All gone. He didn't talk about the burden of the Lord. He talked about the goodness of God. That man didn't tell me a thing about his children that had been killed, but he told me some wonderful things about how good God is. I talked to him a few minutes after service, and he didn't say,
"Brother Hiles, would you pray for me? I don't have any face."
Doc, it'd be better if you didn't have any face, but I saw this guy. If I were you, I'd trade with him. But he didn't say,
"I don't have any face."
He didn't say, "Our children were all killed in a plane crash." He said, "Praise the Lord. Isn't God wonderful? Isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard. 'Tis recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful?" You know what this old world's looking for? This old world's looking for a bunch of Christians that can have burdens and problems and sing while they have them. Looking for some Saul and some Paul and Silas's that can be in the prison in the stocks at midnight and sing the praises and goodness of God Almighty. Looking for some Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that can face the fiery furnace with the praises of God upon their lips, and some Daniels who can face the lion's den with the glory of God upon his lips. Looking for some people that can suffer and still rejoice and lose a boy 8 years old and sit here yesterday during the funeral service and smile. That's what the world looks. The world wants to see if it works in the clouds. The world wants to see if it works at midnight as well as at noonday. I wouldn't give you a dime, not a dime, for this modern day charismatic hodgepodge. This get rich and get well, and if you serve God, you'll never be sick, and you'll have a good job and get a raise and pay. That's the devil's lie. You give me the kind of Christianity that on your back can look up and say, "Praise God anyhow." That statement came from Lester Roloff. I saw him start it. Lester Roloff and his church in Corpus Christi was at the bottom. I went down to see him to try to encourage his heart. When I got there, he was on the floor, on his face, on the floor, crying. And I said, "Brother Lester." He looked around and said, "Brother Jack." Tears streaming down his cheeks. At the bottom, all the way at the bottom. I saw Brother Lester reach over and grab a piece of paper. I saw him reach in his pocket and take his pen out. I saw him scribble on that piece of paper. I saw him get up and put that... By the way, it's in his pajamas. I don't know what he's doing in his pajamas, but anyway, I saw him put that paper on the wall. And in handwritten writing, it said, praise God anyhow. Praise God anyhow. Having a tough time financially? Praise God anyhow. Don't feel good? Praise God anyhow. Got a hoarse voice? Praise God anyhow. Having a tough time with your children? Praise God anyhow. Got some enemies? Praise God anyhow. That's what God is saying here. He's saying to his people, I know you got it bad. I know it's rough. But he said, praise me anyhow. That's what he's saying. He's saying, don't talk about the burden of the Lord. Talk about preaching. Talk about answered prayer. Talk about the Word of God. John 14 still says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Psalm 91 still says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 23 still says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Romans 8:28 still says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. Let me tell you something. What we have, the stake could not put it out for Latimer and Ridley. What we have, the fire could not put it out for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What we have, the lion's den, could not put it out for Daniel. What we have, the New Testament church would not allow it to be put out. Why? Because in sorrow, He's still our Savior. In burdens, He's still my God. God said, talk about the Word of God, talk about preaching, talk about answered prayer, and talk about the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Talk about His mercy. Talk about His grace. Talk about His love. Talk about His patience. I've said it 10,000 times here. We have a wonderful, wonderful God. Let's talk about Him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I'll tell you something, I'm through. I've prayed as much in the last 2 months as I prayed before then. Haven't stopped my prayer life. I've been in this book. Haven't taken time out of this book to fight a battle. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. I get off the airplane preaching somewhere. The preacher meets me. Can I have this? Anybody home upstairs? Can I have this? Preacher, turn me up. Turn me up. Preacher meets me. He watches me get off the airplane. He looks at me. Just like they looked at Lazarus when he'd risen from the dead. He looks at me. He walks down the hallway saying, how are you doing, Dr. Hiles? And I say, great. How are you doing? Fine. How are you doing? Wonderful. Church is better than it's ever been. Crowds bigger than they've ever been. People being saved more than they ever have in the summertime history of our church. Great. How are you doing, I say. Fine. How are you doing? I walk on the platform. Everybody watches me. I want to walk up and get the microphone and I want to say, boo! You think one little manure peddler in near Corpus Christi, Texas, that writes a magazine is going to take my joy? Huh? You think two little gals in the Hammond Times, from liberal universities, you think they're going to take my joy? Well, sort of they will. No, they ought to take my joy. My joy is not for sale. I got soul, baby. Yeah, I got soul.
And I want you to have soul. Keep your soul. Good night. I walked to a store the other day. I walked in. Here in Hammond. And they watched me. And I said, I'm Brother Hiles. Jack Hiles. Pastor of First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana. I'm a child of God. On my way to heaven. Not only that, I'm famous. Somebody said to J. Frank Norris one time, they said, Mr. Norris, do you know that 80% of the people in Fort Worth hate you? He said, yeah, but there's nobody else in Fort Worth that 80% of the people even know. Show me another preacher where the town wants more of him. Brother, for years, when I was a boy, I was a paper boy. For years, I was a paper, turn it up, I was a paper boy. I got up at 3:30 in the morning when I was 10 years old, rode my bicycle 125 miles, 250 miles home, rode my bicycle early in the morning. By 4 o'clock in the morning, I was folding papers. By 4:30, I was throwing papers at houses. I was living my route. Every morning I did that. I got up till I was 17 years old. I had a paper route, sometimes morning route, sometimes afternoon route. Bless God, I'm selling papers now without even going out. You're looking at a man that sells papers better than the Chinese Revolution does. I mean, the Chinese mess, right? The hottest day of it, I was on top of it. I want you to get your attitude out, too. I preached the sermon on Don't Lose Your Soul the other day down in Memphis, Tennessee. Little boy had come on a bus. He went home. His mother didn't want him to come to that church anyway. She said, son, what did you learn? He said, look here. Atchoo. You got your burdens. Personal. Family. But don't let the devil get your soul. Away. I got 3 or 4 folks tonight in the service. We've been gone 15 minutes ago if it hadn't been for them. We'd leave now if it hadn't been wasn't for them. They're holding us here. They're miserable, and I want to see them stay miserable a while. You won't get my joy. No way. It's not for sale. God comes to these people. You talk about a problem. These folks had it. We're talking about Nebuchadnezzar coming. I said a while ago, we're talking about Nebuchadnezzar coming across from the east, destroying the land. We're talking about their beloved temple. Can you imagine what would happen if this enemy came and invaded Hammond and the army destroyed this building? I stood out there and saw our building burn one day, tears in my eyes, many of you with me. But the temple, they didn't have many churches. They didn't have places. The temple, the sacred spot of all of Israel was destroyed. That wall that was their protection around them, giant wall, had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and his armies. Their houses destroyed. Can you imagine the rats and the snakes and the germs that came through that kind of destruction? Can you see the looting? Can you see them so hungry they ate their own little babies? And even ate each other? Some people tell us that they would cast lots over who would eat and who would be eaten. And God comes down in that kind of a condition. And God says, don't talk about your burden. He said, oh, sure, you've got a burden. You're going to have to face it. You've got a battle to fight. You've got to fight it. But he said, I want this to be the main thing. Talk about me. Talk about your answered prayer. Talk about what I do. Talk about what I am. Let me say this, if there ever was a day when the First Baptist Church of Hammond needs to cover this whole area with the message of this old book and the grace of God and the goodness of God, it's now. Now's the time for me to show the fundamentalists in America what's in here. Now's the time for this church to show this area what's in our hearts. How about your own burden? Has it gotten you down? Whining? Complaining, cancel your pity party. Get on the top side. We spend too much time whining. Oh, I don't feel good. I hurt. Oh, my soul, get out and tell somebody how good Jesus is. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords, supreme through all eternity. The great I Am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name. And that's the reason why I love Him so, for Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Sweetest note in Seraph's song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung. Jesus, blessed Jesus. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Oh, how I love Jesus. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They're precious in His sight. Let's talk about Him. Let's exalt Him. Let's magnify Him. Let's witness for Him. Let's build Sunday school classes for Him. Let's build bus routes for Him. Let's not let your own individual burden stop you from realizing there's a God in heaven, and that God loves you, and He's preparing a place for you tonight. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. We'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me and for you. Three cheers for Jesus. Hallelujah for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Let's exalt Him. Let's talk about Him. And let's hear the Savior as He comes down and says to these people, you got some tough burdens, and I know you do. But said, look, you've talked enough about your burden. Talk about what God has done. Talk about answered prayer. Talk about that blessed old book. And talk about the goodness and greatness of our God. I stood right there yesterday morning at the head of that little casket. One of the cutest 8-year-old boys you ever saw in your life, little body lying lifeless there. But I watched you as you came by. And I relive these 30 years. Sweet memories. Practically everybody that came by, I had a memory about them. A couple came by with 3 little children. And I remember the day they came to my office and their family was breaking up. Little boys were crying. 3 little boys, they were crying. Mom and Daddy were getting a divorce. I got on my knees with those little boys and they got on their knees with me. We begged Mom and Daddy not to get a divorce. And their home was saved that night in my office. I saw them walk by as a family yesterday morning. I wanted to shout, glory be to God. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. I saw a lady come by who had cancer. She came to my office. I anointed her with oil. She went back to the doctor. The doctor said, you don't have the cancer anymore. X-rays showed the cancer, and the X-rays showed the cancer was gone, and the doctor said it was a miracle. I saw her walk by that casket yesterday morning, and I praised my God. And one by one you came, and one by one I remembered, and one by one my soul filled with the praises and goodness of Almighty God. Sure, we've got to cry some. This is a world of burdens. Sure, we hurt some. Of course we do. But let the bottom line be, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. When I think of that verse, I think of Costell Matty Hiles. That was my mama's favorite verse. The one I heard her quote the most. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Let's keep on loving Him and praising Him, honoring Him and exalting Him through burdens, through battles, heartaches, and trials.